Support for WPR comes from Viterbo University. Offering 1 to 2 year master's degree programs in business administration, healthcare leadership, and servant leadership. Viterbo.edu/graduate.
Support for WPR comes from the Dram Corporation, manufacturers of commercial tools, equipment, and systems for greenhouse and nursery professionals for over 80 years. More information is at dramm.com.
In the wake of a recent Supreme Court decision that struck down parts of the Voting Rights Act, the state of North Carolina passed new laws limiting early voting and requiring voters to present ID at the polls. That's not sitting well with the Obama administration.
So today, in what's being called an effort to protect voting rights, the Department of Justice is filing suit against the state. And our next guest says North Carolina is definitely a state to watch in 2013 and beyond, and could become a significant player in the future of the Voting Rights Act and election policy across the nation.
Joining us now is Doug Chapin. He's director of the Program for Excellence in Election Administration for the Humphrey School of Public Affairs at the University of Minnesota. Doug, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Well, let's set the stage first. Earlier this year, the Supreme Court struck down part of that Voting Rights Act. What got struck down that opened the door for North Carolina to pass these laws?
The Supreme Court ruled in a case, Shelby County versus Holder, that the formula that's used to choose jurisdictions that are subject to a certain provision of the Voting Rights Act, known as Section 5, was outdated and therefore could not be enforced. So as a result, a bunch of jurisdictions, including the state of North Carolina, that had previously been required to submit their election changes to the federal government for what's called preclearance before they could be enforced, were no longer required to do so. And so many jurisdictions, including North Carolina, in the wake of that decision, have moved to make changes like the ones which are now about to be under suit from the Justice Department.
And the Justice Department is unhappy about a bunch of parts of North Carolina election law. What law? What exactly are they challenging?
Well, a bunch of different things in there. There's the voter ID requirement, which was already a target of preclearance efforts before that part of the act was invalidated by Shelby County. Also, North Carolina had a very active early voting system that started 17 days before Election Day, and then really unique to North Carolina, they employed something that they call one-stop voting, where up until the Sunday before Election Day, a voter was able to go to an early voting site, register to vote, and vote the same day. So unlike a state like Wisconsin, which has same-day registration, that did not exist in North Carolina except for voters who went in and used those one-stop early voting centers. And that was one of the things that was invalidated by the new state law.
There's already been a suit against the state of Texas, right? How is this different?
This is another one a lot like the Texas suit. In the wake of Shelby County, the federal government lost the ability to require states to get preclearance of these election changes. And really was a very powerful tool because in states covered by Section 5 of the Act, states were not able to enact things like voter ID. And in the wake of Shelby County, Texas and North Carolina and other states have moved forward with ID. And so these lawsuits are part of the Justice Department's effort to reassert the power of the federal government to enforce the Voting Rights Act against these states using a slightly different piece of the Voting Rights Act.
The Voting Rights Act applied to just a handful of states you mentioned, mostly in the South, mostly during the civil rights era. Does any of this affect states that weren't covered by the act?
It could potentially. The part that got struck down in Shelby County, as you pointed out, was largely focused on southern states, not uniformly, but largely. That's Section 5, which required states to get preclearance in advance. There's another section of the Voting Rights Act called Section 2, which is enforceable nationwide. And that's when a plaintiff, including the federal government, can bring suit alleging that an election law has discriminatory impact against protected minority voters. And so what the Justice Department is doing in Texas and in North Carolina is using Section 2 as a way to go after these laws that they are now unable to block using Section 5. The other thing that's interesting in both of these cases is that the Justice Department is asking the court, also to use Section 3 of the Act, which is known as the bail-in requirement, that rather than jurisdictions being able to bail out because of good behavior, the federal government can ask a court to bail a jurisdiction in and resubject them to preclearance under the Voting Rights Act. And since that would be under a different section than the one that the Supreme Court invalidated in Shelby County, those states from then on would be required to pre-clear their voting changes again. So this really is right at the cutting edge in this battle between states and the federal government, between supporters and opponents of the Voting Rights Act, about what the act will mean in 2013 and beyond.
Well, let's key in on the voter ID part of it. That's been an ongoing battle in Wisconsin and a number of other states as well. Is there this argument all over the country as to whether or not there is a civil rights angle to voter ID?
Well, there is. I mean, there is often, in fact, almost always, when you have a challenge to voter ID requirements, whether by opponents of a law in the legislature or by plaintiffs once a law is passed and enacted, invariably it involves some civil rights angle. There is an argument that voters, that racial minority voters, younger voters, older voters have less access to or don't have the ID that's required to cast a ballot, and that therefore requiring them to have that ID will work a civil rights violation. And what's going to be interesting in these cases in Texas and North Carolina is that the Justice Department is going to have to put on evidence that that's actually the case, that there are people who are otherwise eligible to vote who will not be able to do so because of voter ID requirements, and that they will be disproportionately represented by racial minorities and other folks protected by the act.
Is that going to be a tall order for them to be able to make that case, do you think?
I think it's going to be a challenge. I think one of the interesting things about the voter ID debate across the country is that really neither side has a whole lot of proof to back up their claims. Supporters of voter ID talk a lot about fraud, and as we've seen time and time again, there's very little evidence that there are actually people pretending to be other people to cast ballots. But really, on the other side, these claims that large numbers of voters will be disenfranchised by the ID requirement hasn't been backed up by numbers. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't folks out there who don't have ID, who aren't able to vote, but to date, we haven't seen a lot of really good empirical studies of how ID requirements will affect real voters in real elections rather than sort of hypothetical voters in legal arguments.
Both sides of this debate get accused of, I guess, a political cynicism here. People accuse Republicans of supporting voter ID because it makes it harder for people who don't vote Republican to vote. Democrats get accused of being on the other side because they want to make it easier for people to vote Democratic to vote. Do you think there's that sort of cynical political motivation on either side?
Well, I mean, it's certainly, you can look at the facts. That's one conclusion you can come to. Another one, which I think is just as likely, if not more so, is that this is just yet another issue on which the parties have very divergent views. If I were to tell you that, you know, someone was going to walk through the door and they opposed voter ID, you would assume they were a Democrat. I don't think people always oppose voter ID because they're Democrats. They might be a Democrat because they oppose voter ID. And similarly, Republicans who, you know, believe in the integrity of institutions and talk about, you know, order and the like are more likely to support ID. So while there is definitely a kind of cynical political spin you can put on this debate, I think it's also the product of a very real policy difference between the parties, which mirrors differences on everything, you know, from reproductive rights to the budget to you name it on other issues. So whatever the reason, it's a white-hot debate, and it's going to be battled out in courts in Texas and North Carolina and probably other states in the foreseeable future.
I was going to say, are there other shoes you expect to drop, and if so, where?
Well, I think there were lawsuits under preclearance in places like South Carolina. I know there's been an issue of whether or not the state of Florida is going to crank up their voter purge or voter maintenance process again. The state of Mississippi has enacted a voter ID law and is working its way toward implementing it. I think that if you see other jurisdictions moving toward voter ID or other what are perceived as rollbacks on voting rights, I think you might see the Justice Department or other plaintiffs bringing suit. But I think Texas and North Carolina in many ways are going to be a test case, both for people who support the act and want to see it reinforced, but also for people who oppose the act and are going to claim that DOJ is once again overreaching on these and that requiring states to be bailed back into preclearance is just as far over the line as those sections of the act that were invalidated under the Shelby County case. Really a fascinating case for voting rights lawyers, and I think one that'll be worth watching as we roll toward the elections in both 2014 and 2016.
We will watch that. Doug, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That's Doug Chapin. He's an election expert at the University of Minnesota.